Welcome to Good Natured, a podcast all about optimism and the great outdoors. I'm your host, Haley O'Brien. Starting off this episode, Discover NEPA's Don Jacobs is here and back from vacation.
Yeah, we snuck out of the country for a couple of days, Lucy and I. We went to Punta Cana because it was a bad winter, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was really, really, really cold. So we decided to warm it up a little bit.
Very nice. You look refreshed.
I am refreshed. I'm relaxed. I'm excited about what's right here. Spring.
Right around the corner.
Oh, my goodness. Have we waited for this or what?
Yeah, it's been a long winter.
So what's your favorite season?
Favorite season is spring.
Okay.
Because as much as I love summer and the heat, spring, you're kind of feeling the anticipation. You're feeling that winter is over and the spirits are lifted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're an outdoorsman, you know there's so much to do, right? Mm-hmm. The world is waking up. For example, if you take a hike and you go by a pond or a bunch of water, they call it a vernal pool. All the amphibians have gone down into this pond or vernal pool and laid their eggs. And at night, it is just a cacophony of sounds. The spring peepers, the wood frogs, everything in the world is talking, right? Mm-hmm. You've got turkeys ready to start gobbling. You've got all the songbirds trying to pick their mates. Everything comes alive, right? And that's the vocal end of it. And then you have the flowers that start blooming, and the beauty and the smells out there is just, like, so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I love just getting out, going for a hike, not even with a fishing pole or anything yet. Just get out there and realize that from the smell and the sounds and then the sights, spring is here. It's just an amazing time of year. It really is. It's also the time that anglers really get excited.
Okay. So trout season's coming up.
Trout season, right? Okay. So the Fish and Boat Commission has already been out there stocking streams and lakes, and they're getting ready for two seasons. On March 28th, it's a youth-only trout day, and on April 5th, it's the big day that everybody waits for, the statewide opener. So when we were at Lake Irena, part of the Hazel Township Municipal Park, the lake was frozen. So they had to drill holes in it to stock the trout. So Shane Casey, the waterways conservation officer, came, and he let us show things around. And, of course, that story's part of Go Wild with Discover NEPA. But Shane says, you know what, we're really excited. This park and a lot of other parks get used heavily for that youth day. And we asked him to tell us what are some of the rules surrounding that day.
First one coming up here is March 28th. That's going to be our mentored youth day. The youth kind of get the opportunity to kind of hit the waters first. Get the first line in. Obviously, they're going to be assisted by a mentor. The mentor has to have a fishing license and that trout stamp. Usually, you got to stay within arm's reach when you're with that youth. The youth themselves, they need to have a mentored youth permit or a voluntary youth fishing license. The one is free, one's $2.97, and the funding goes right back into the education programs.
So it's a good thing all the way around because there's no hassling with adults. The kids get to fish. They get to keep two trout, right? It starts at 8 o'clock that morning, and you have to stop fishing at 7:30. The very next Saturday, the statewide trout season opens up where everybody could catch fish, and you're allowed to take 5 trout home. Do you like fish?
No, I don't eat fish.
You don't eat fish. I'm telling you, one of my favorite things in the world to do is I take my frying pan, I take my little cooker, and I'll catch some trout, and especially with my grandkids or with other people that have never done it before, we fry it right up streamside.
Wow.
And it adds that additional experience to catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't like trout that day, because if you caught it and you saw it cleaned and cooked and the smell, it brings that whole event, that whole experience, full nature. Like just really a good time.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. Now, the other story that we did, which amazes me, is you're a hiker or a walker?
Yeah.
You're a walker? Okay. So I met this young man, Hunter Lacomas from Luzerne County, and he started the Appalachian Trail. Now, the Appalachian Trail is over 2,100 miles. And on March 4th, he started in Georgia. He's going to make his way to Pennsylvania by June and then take a week off. And then he's going to go to Maine to finish the Appalachian Trail.
Wow.
So as I'm talking to him, there's two things that came to mind. I'm inspired and I'm already tired.
Yeah, me too. That's, I know some parts of the trail are really tough.
They are. Yeah. In fact, you know what the toughest is? If you ask anybody, they'll say Pennsylvania. Mm. They call it Rocklevania because it's all rocky, steep mountains, and a lot of the other stuff is just flat. But it goes through towns, so he gets to stop at convenience stores. He'll walk through little communities and stuff, so it's not like he's always in the woods. But I was inspired by that story, too. And now our trails are going to start bursting with wildflowers, and they're going to start, the trees are going to start budding, and you're going to start smelling everything from the honeysuckles and the dogwood trees. You're going to start seeing the first things that blossom and bloom, and that's exciting. Right? We've waited all winter long for this stuff. Mm. And you know what I'm excited about, too? Knoebel's Grove turns 100 years.
Yes. It's going to be a big year.
It is. And Dick Knoebel, right? He handed the torch to his son, Brian. So we got to sit down with Brian and talk about the history of Knoebel's and what's in the future. And he's so excited about taking it one more step, not touching a lot of it because it ain't broken. He's not fixing it, right? But how about we're going to a park who's always got accolades for being the best, the friendliest, the cheapest, the whole bit, and it's right here in northeastern Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So we did a story on that. We're going to get going down and just experience 100 years of Knoebel's Grove.
And the story of Knoebel's is really interesting.
Yeah.
I grew up in this region going to there, but I only learned recently that it's really popular nationwide because of their food. It's some of the best food, like amusement park food in the country.
In the country. And it's free.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You don't have to pay to park. You don't have to pay to come in. So you bring in a whole family. Yeah, you pay for rides, but if you don't want to go on a ride, you don't have to pay. You watch your kids go on a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole theme, the whole idea of Knoebel's Park is just amazing.
Yeah.
And then you also have all those places that have flowers, right? The tulip festivals that are popping up here and there. That's going to start coming to life. So if you're sitting at home or in your car listening to this, get excited.
Yeah,
right?
I'm excited.
The smells, the sights, the sounds of spring are right here. They're happening right now for us. They definitely are.
Yeah, you're getting us excited because I know we had some days of warmer weather, but that's like the false first spring that we usually experience. It's going to be back in freezing temperatures, but we've got to think positive and know that this is right around the corner.
We're over the hump.
Yes, we are.
We're definitely over the hump. We're going to start talking about turkey hunting in the next podcast. We're going to start moving into hiking trails and where you could do some biking. So if you look at, okay, I live in Pennsylvania. I love the four seasons, but now I'm done with winter.
Yeah.
And now I'm excited about spring. It's here already.
Yep, we're moving on to the next one. Great. Well, thank you, Don. We'll see you next month.
Thanks for having me, Haley.
It's hard to imagine a St. Patrick's Day celebration without bagpipes, but the Greater Scranton Black Diamonds Pipe Band had to cancel appearances last year, this after their bus crashed, traveling home from a parade in Pike County. This year, the beloved band is back to performing. The Greater Scranton Black Diamonds Pipe Band is greeted with enthusiasm everywhere they go.
It's the music that would lead the Scots into battle. And if you're at a bar and you hear us come in, you can kind of feel it.
Ask any members of the band why they do it, and they'll give you similar answers.
Just the feel of the bagpipes. They vibrate something in your core.
Especially when the band gets together and you hear, multiple pipes going together.
We're all coming from different backgrounds, but we all have a common love for the music. I can't imagine not being part of the group.
The camaraderie in the band is terrific.
Bill Heatherson is the band's business manager.
The people have come and gone over the years, but the band itself and the culture and everything kind of stayed the same.
He's been part of the Black Diamonds for almost as long as it's been around, 30 years. Mark Jenkins started playing the pipes about 20 years ago.
One of the few things in my life I really stuck with.
In 2025, as the band was traveling home from Milford's St. Patrick's Day Parade, their bus lost control.
We're going around the curve at such a high speed, we went right over the embankment, hit a drainage ditch, went airborne, and landed it on the back of a parked tractor trailer and we're at about a 45 degree angle, and the front axles were ripped off, and the driver was wedged in behind a steering wheel. It could have been very horrific.
They canceled appearances for the rest of the season and took a break from weekly rehearsals. Here's the band's lead drummer, Andrea Leshock.
It really knocked the band down for several months. It really just kind of, you know, pushed us back a little bit, and we had to really take some time to just heal from that.
Cheryl Kaiser had the most severe injuries of the group.
I was in the hospital for a week. Two of those days were in ICU, but I'm back now. I decided the best thing was to just get back with my friends and get back on the street and have fun doing it, because that's what we do in March.
The band was back on the streets this year, marching in parades in Pittston, Scranton, and Wilkes-Barre. They'll travel to Pike County again for the Milford St. Patrick's Day Parade, March 21st. Here's pipe major Jimmy Lasavich.
We're still not quite back to full strength, but I think our resolve and our mental capacities are even stronger than they were before. I think it kind of solidified the group as a core, something that we didn't want to happen, but could certainly have some positive outcomes in the long run as far as, you know, building some brotherhood and some camaraderie.
The Black Diamonds was established in 1995. Keith Baylor joined in 1997, and his 10-year-old daughter, Bridget, is one of the newer members.
It's really fun when, like, we get to do parades and stuff, because, like, all of our friends and family get to be there sometimes.
More than 60 girls, ages 4 through 18, tried hockey this month. They learned to pass and shoot and handle hockey sticks alongside coaches and volunteers from the Wilkes-Barre Junior Pens. WVIA's Kat Bolis reports the free event had an overwhelming but welcome amount of girls sign up.
Bobby Fidelli is a coach for the Junior Pens. She says one goal of Saturday's event was to get enough girls interested in the sport to have a full roster for a girls' team. Right now, the Junior Pens have co-ed travel teams.
Hockey is growing in Pennsylvania, and we want girls to be a part of that.
Fidelli says the last time the organization held a Girls Try Hockey for Free clinic, 25 girls signed up.
Just seeing this overwhelming response and having to open up registration for extra people, even though we don't really have enough equipment, was really overwhelming and just a great thing to see.
Aniston Yoder is 14. 4 years ago, she picked up skates and a hockey stick at the frozen pond at Hillside Park in South Abington Township. Now she plays wing for a Junior Pens co-ed team.
It's great seeing all these girls come together and just become like one family, one team, but we really need a girls team, so this is great.
The Mahaffey sisters from Sugarloaf Township were on the ice. Abby is the youngest. She says it was her first time skating, but she wants to be a hockey player when she grows up.
I mean, sometime when I get better at this.
In Wilkes-Barre, I'm Kat Bolis, WVIA News.
And WVIA's Kat Bolis joins me now to talk about her reporting. That was a cool day with you and the girls on the ice.
Yeah, it was very cool. I actually was not able to get out onto the ice. They had maxed out the equipment they had.
Wow.
They had more girls register than they anticipated with more coming that day. So I was like, I should probably not ask for ice skates and gloves and a stick and all of the above.
So tell us more about this. I know it's right after the Olympics, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of interest there. Were you surprised to see that?
Yeah, I don't know if surprise is the right word. I was more, like, inspired to see it. So the women's Olympic team, the women's U.S. hockey Olympic team won gold in February. So this event was, you know, a couple weeks after that. And they, you know, the Wilkes-Barre Junior Pens were kind of hoping to capitalize in on that interest from hockey from the Olympics. And I think that they definitely did. Bobby Fidelli, who's a coach, she said hockey is growing in Pennsylvania and they want girls to be a part of that. So I think that is what they were trying to do, and I think they were successful. They asked girls to wear bike helmets and bring shoulder pads and knee pads, not necessarily hockey equipment. So you had girls on the ice with like the full like face cage on, next to girls with like cat ears on their bike helmets and like mohawks. There was like a unicorn helmet at one point. So it was, but everyone was very focused and they were having fun. Girls were falling, but they got right back up. So it was a really kind of neat event post-Olympics to kind of keep that kind of hockey fever going.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not an easy sport to just pick up out of nowhere.
No, I mean, you're like essentially running on skates on ice, and then you're like slamming into each other and, you know, the wall. It's like it's a very physical sport.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very cool the way your reporting has, the reporting that has come out of the Olympics.
Yeah. You know,
the Olympics are an international event, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of local ties.
Yeah. So we, you know, we always try and find the local tie during the Olympics because I feel like NEPA is the secret center of the universe. So mm-hmm. there's always got to be someone. So after the U.S. men's team won Olympic gold, we found out that the equipment manager, Teddy Richards, is actually from the Heights in Wilkes-Barre, and he got his start with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. So I reached out to the Penguins. I talked to them. Then I reached out to his brother. I talked to the brother. And then later that night, Teddy Richards calls me before he goes out with the hockey team to a club in Miami.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like, I have a couple minutes before I'm going clubbing.
That's awesome.
So I spoke to him just kind of about, you know, what the experience was like at the Olympics. You know, he kind of gave me his backstory, how he even got involved in hockey. He was not a hockey player growing up, but the Pens came to the area, I think it was around like 2000. You know, he kind of started off doing errands here and there. I think they called him a stick boy. And then he became an assistant equipment manager. Then he was the equipment manager. Then he was the equipment manager for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now he's down in Florida, and he was one of only two equipment managers on the U.S. men's hockey team. So when I was speaking, you know, going back to the girls try ice hockey for free event, I was talking to the coach, Bobby Fidelli, and I said, it is kind of strange that Pennsylvania isn't a bigger hockey state, because we have tons of frozen ice and there's rinks everywhere. And she was like, yeah, we're going to change that. So it was a cool event.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe some future Olympic athletes.
I know. You know, I talked to a 14-year-old from Clark Summit, Aniston Yoder. She started ice skating at Hillside Park in South Abington Township, which is like one of my favorite places to go ice skating at in the winter. She picked up a stick, she picked up some rental skates, and then 4 years later, you know, now she plays wing for one of the co-ed travel teams for the Junior Pens. And she said too, you know, we really need a girls only team.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Now the next Olympics are in 4 years, right?
2 years.
The
Summer Olympics are in LA in 2028. And I was very inspired by the Winter Olympics, so I signed up for raffle tickets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my niece is, she's 10, and she's an amazing swimmer. So I'm like, let me see if I could get us some swim tickets. I mean, who knows what'll happen. I should probably start saving now, but yeah. And then, you know, 2030 will be our next Winter Olympics.
Okay. Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll get a Keeping Up with Kat from the Olympics.
I know. That'd be great.
Maybe. I'm just
keeping
saying.
Keeping Up with Kat and Abby from the Olympics.
At the Olympics.
Yeah.
All right. Well, something to think about.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Kat, for sharing your reporting.
Thanks for having me.
You can always find more of Kat's reporting at WVIA.org. And for more of Go Wild with Discover NEPA, that's at discovernepa.com. Thanks for tuning in to Good Natured, a podcast all about optimism and the great outdoors.